back to our study of John. We are in chapter 8 of John, and we're going to begin this evening at verse 48. Chapter 8 and verse 48. The Jews responded to him, being Jesus, "Aren't we right in saying that you're a Samaritan and have a demon?" Now remember, they were talking to Jesus. "I do not have a demon," Jesus answered. "On the contrary, I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I do not seek my glory. The one who seeks it also judges. I assure you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death ever." Let's talk about that. Now, I know he's going to talk here in just a minute, but there are a few things that I want to point out. First of all, that Jesus mentions, he says, "I honor my Father." Remember how we've talked about the fact that he's our pattern to follow? Well, didn't he give us the command? The Lord gave us the command early on to honor our parents. So he honors his Father. And then he says to us, if anyone keeps my word, if anyone, that when you look at that word keeps, it actually means to guard. Anyone that guards my word, he will never see death ever. And we know he's talking spiritually here. And these religious leaders, they're looking at the natural, so they can't receive what he's saying. We've heard it said many times before that a blind man can't see. And we've also heard Jesus tell people, those that have ears to hear, let them hear. They didn't have the ears to hear. They couldn't receive it because they weren't willing to receive it.
Let's talk about the death here. Let's see, there's a natural death and there's a spiritual death. And a lot of people struggle when you start talking about spiritual death because they don't understand what you're saying. A spirit, and everybody, actually we're spirit beings. We're just living in bodies. James 2:26, he says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." And so the spirit is actually the life of the body. Okay? Now, saint or sinner, you're a spiritual being. Now, we were all born into sin because of the sin of Adam. Okay? And so, in that we're born into sin, that separates us from the life of God. This is what we call spiritual death. It's being separated from the life of God. If you don't have eternal life, you have eternal death. Okay? Sounds like a paradox, but you just stay with me, okay? And so when we think of death, people generally relate death to the physical body being buried or cremated, whatever the case is these days, okay? But what Jesus is talking about is separation from the Father. If you receive Jesus, then that is what we call being born again. We're born naturally. But our natural birth is a separation from God in that we're born into sin. And sin separates us from God, or the life of God, okay? And so when we're born again, this is why Jesus said in John 5, that we pass from death to life. When we're born again, no longer do we identify with the physical man, we identify with the spirit man, which lives forever. Okay? And so this is where you have to make a distinction. Now, these people that he's talking to, all they're hearing is, you out of your mind to say you're going to never die. You're going to live forever. A person that believes in you is going to live forever. Well, that's our faith. Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're going to live forever. Let me go all the way back to the garden. When man ate the fruit of the tree, okay, I know the woman, Satan tempted the woman, but really sin came into the world not through the woman, through the man. Okay? You can see that in Timothy, Paul writing to Tim. Now, what Adam had was one command. Don't eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Every other tree in that garden, you can eat. But don't eat from the fruit from that tree. Because when you do, the day you do, you'll die. Well, we know the story. Adam ate of the fruit of the tree. Did he die physically? No, Adam lived to be 930 years old. Did God lie? No. So let's find out what happened. When God called Adam into question about eating, have you eaten of that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Then God removed him from the garden in which he had placed him, where the tree of life, you understand, was in that garden. He removed him from that garden so he could not get to the tree of life. Not only did he remove him, but he put a flaming sword to guard the way so he couldn't get back there. You follow me? And so Adam was removed from life. When we accept Jesus Christ, in him is life. That's why people use the phrase life in the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And in him was life. Okay? So when we accept Jesus Christ, we're now allowed to partake of life. And that's why he does not want us following reason, knowledge of good and evil. He wants us to live by faith, to be led by the Spirit of God and not make our decisions independently of God. You with me? Don't walk in death, walk in life. Follow this new birth. Follow the spiritual life. I brought you out of spiritual death. Now follow life. Does all that make sense to you? Okay. So this is what Jesus is talking about. You believe in me, you'll never die. You'll live forever. And I've said that many times. I say, I'm going to live forever. And I've already started. You understand? We're not talking about a physical body. We're talking about the real I. You understand? Not the house. You know, I have a house that I live in. But you know, when I walk out of that door and there's nobody in that house, there's no life in that house. You understand? That's just the place I dwell. It's the same way with the physical body. It's the place you dwell. When you walk out, the house is vacated. And you watch just in the natural. Any house that's vacated, even a short period of time, it starts deteriorating.
Yeah.
When that spirit leaves that body, it doesn't take that body long to begin deteriorating. You understand? But we have a hope. That body is going to be coming out of the ground as well. You understand? But I want you to know that you're a spiritual being. and you've been born again, if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. So don't think about dying. Back some time ago, maybe a couple years or three, I was praying in the sanctuary, and the Lord said this to me. He said, I want you to start teaching my people to prepare to live, not to prepare to die. And most people today are preparing to die. They even do their pre-burial, you know, stuff and all this type stuff. They're preparing to die. They start getting a little age and they start thinking about dying. If no, you think about living, not about dying. You understand? If that happens, let other people talk about it. You won't know it. You're going to be living. They say you're dead. They don't know you. Just get in your mind, I'm going to live forever because I've accepted Jesus. Okay?
Yeah. Then the Jews said, now we know you have a demon. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. You say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death ever.
Now here again, they're thinking naturally. They're just thinking naturally. They can't receive the word of God because God's not their father.
Yeah.
They won't receive the Son of God. God can't be your father if you don't receive the Son. Okay?
And he just told us that. Do you remember when we read verses 42 through 47? We can look right back at that and see that. In verse 53, they ask, are you greater than our father Abraham who died? Even the prophets died. Who do you pretend to be? If I glorify myself, Jesus answered, my glory is nothing. My Father, you say about him, is our God. He is the one who glorifies me. You've never known him, but I know him. If I were to say I didn't know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word.
I like that. I like that. I mean, he mints no words. If I say that God's not my father, I'd be a liar like you are. You're saying God is your father and you're lying. I'm saying God's mine and I'm telling the truth. I'm saying you're going to live forever if you accept me and I'm telling the truth. You understand? Okay. Go ahead and read the next verse, Sarah.
Your father Abraham was overjoyed that he would see my day. He saw it and rejoiced.
Now that trips him up.
Yes.
Go ahead.
He says, the Jews replied, you aren't 50 years old yet, and you've seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, I assure you, before Abraham was, I am.
Now you think about that. He was long before Abraham, in the beginning. You understand? And so they're all confused. You're not 50 years old, and you're saying that Abraham's seen you, or you've seen Abraham. Well, let's get it straight. I existed before Abraham. Actually, if you look at I am, it exists.
Mm-hmm.
Before Abraham was, I existed. That's what he's saying. Okay? Now, that insight's right. So what do? You don't like truth? Kill it. Kill the messenger. You can't kill the truth. So what do?
Yeah, they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus was hidden and went out of the temple complex.
That's the age-old story in the history of mankind from the very beginning. When people were confronted with truth, they didn't like truth, they attacked the messenger. Kill him if you can. If you can't kill him and get by with it, then do a character assassination. Destroy his character to where people won't listen to him anymore. The age-old story hasn't changed. You understand? They tried to do it with Jesus. You understand? They tried to destroy his character. But there's too many miracles taking place. Too many things going on. Too many people believing. This man, how can a man with a demon be doing all this kind of stuff? Well, they won't buy that, so let's kill him. Let's get him out of the way. You understand? But it wasn't his time. Now look what he did. He hid. You understand Jesus wasn't stupid. He didn't just say, I dare you. There's a time to hide yourself and time to show yourself. Don't get them mixed up. Okay?
Now, I think about, we've been talking about the religious leaders and their response to this truth. And I'm thinking about all the truth that was spoken to us that Jesus told us. He told the religious leaders of the day, and he's telling us through his spoken words just who he is, which is relevant to us today because there's still misunderstanding about who Jesus is. There are still people out there that don't recognize him as the Messiah, as the Son of God. But I went through this afternoon and I was thinking, Lord, who are you telling me that you are? Who are you? And I just highlighted just a few things and some things that I was looking at. When we look at verse 38, he says, I speak what I've seen in the presence of my Father. So he's in the presence of the Father. He says what his Father says. He came from God. He honors the Father. He says twice that he knows him. I know him. I know him. And he says he keeps his word, the Father's word. Now, I look at that big picture, and I know that as one who's been born again, that I am united with Jesus. So that puts me in right standing with the Father. And so, because I have accepted Jesus as my Lord and my Savior, I'm a child of God. I'm called a child of God. And God the Father, he calls me his own. And so, can I say the same thing? I should be able to say the same thing. I should be able to say that I speak what I've heard the Father tell me. I should be able to say that I am a child of God, that I am his family. And so, I too come from that same family line. Do I honor my Father? My Father, our Heavenly Father. Do I know him? Can I say that? Do I really know him? Do I keep his word? And so I know that we're looking here at the big picture of the religious persecution that's happening to Jesus. But there's also some principles in here embedded in us about relationship that we can glean.
And I think is a major problem today among Christians is they do not know God as Father. And it's amazing how many preachers that do not know God as Father. You can listen to a person's conversation, you can listen to their prayer, and it'll tell you a lot about the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm always Almighty God, then all you know, is that how you talk to your earthly father? Great and mighty dad of the neighborhood. No, you don't do anything like that. You go in and you just talk to him. Father, I come to you. And I understand from the 16th chapter of John that my only access to you is through your Son, Jesus Christ. I come
That's
in
right.
His name.
Yes.
So I have no merit, but I come in the name of Jesus. And because I'm one with Jesus, you're his Father.
Yes.
Then you're my father.
That's right.
You with me?
Mm-hmm.
And we get the revelation that God is our father. That we're in the family of God. Why would you want to deny God is your father? Then you are you going to be a liar like them? Or is God your father? I never denied my earthly father being my father. And I'm not about to deny my heavenly father being my father. You understand? Now, there's so many things to look at here. Jesus is honoring his father, are we? Jesus is listening to his father and doing what his father says. Are we? Or do we just do our thing during the week and then try to hear him on Sunday? You know what I mean? And that's what so many people are doing. And they listen, communication is to occur every day. And it's to occur all during the day. You follow me? This is fellowship strengthens relationship. There is a difference between relationship and fellowship.
Yeah.
And a good illustration of that is with the prodigal son. He was always the son. Even though he left home, he squandered all his inheritance, he was still the son. Now his idea was, I'm not fit to be. And who is? So I'll go back because he's got a pretty good deal there. And I'll just be a servant. But what happens when the father sees him far off? He runs to him and embraces him. He never lost sonship. You with me? But he did lose fellowship. And that's where some of the denominations are missing it. They say if you sin, if you miss it, then you have to get saved again. You can't get saved again. Can you be born naturally more than one time? No. And you can't be born spiritually more than one time. You follow me? You can get out of fellowship with God. But that doesn't mean you lost relationship. You don't give you time to get back into fellowship. Thank God. I thank God for mercy. You understand? And so we need to realize these things. God, even these Jewish people, Jesus was trying to reach out to them, but they wouldn't believe him. Why? They had the wrong father. They would have told you they were fellowshipping with God, but they weren't. And so it's the same way today, so many people use God. They use the Bible. They use lingo and jargon, all this type stuff. But what's in their heart? It's sort of like Ezekiel, God showing Ezekiel, dig through the wall. I'm gonna show you what's really going on in the temple. Yeah, they say they worship a God, but when you get in there and look, no, they're worshiping the sun. They're worshiping all these other things. They're not worshiping God. How many people at deep at gut level in their heart are truly head over heels in love with God? Worshiping God by the way they live. And I am convinced, boy, I appreciate that message Sunday night. I am convinced that worship is a lifestyle, not an act. You understand? Jesus was the personification of worship. When you are obeying every day of your life, then you have things in proper perspective and God's being glorified, and worship will glorify God. I wasn't planning on saying that, but I did. So just take it for what it's worth, okay?
Okay, very good. Let's begin in chapter 9. As he was passing by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples questioned him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?"
Now, let's just look at that. Because there's many groups today saying if there's anything wrong with a person, physical, whatever, that is because there's sin in their life. That's been the age-old thing. That was the mindset of the religious people of this day. Who sinned? Somebody had to sin. This man couldn't be blind without somebody sinning. Well, let me tell you who sinned. Adam. And all these things came in the world through Adam. And it's not that the individual per se sinned. And Jesus points that out. Who sinned, this man or his parents? We'll look at the next verse. One word, neither. Just go ahead and read it before I get ahead of myself here.
Neither this man nor his parents sinned, Jesus answered. And my translation is off. This came about so that God's work might be displayed in him.
Now, if you look at the setting, he answers their question. Who sinned, this man or his parents? Neither one of them.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't sin, the parents didn't sin. The works of God need to be done. And so, I'm going to do the works of God while it's day. In other words, we're going to get this man healed. Okay? Don't want to go on reading that.
Verse 4, we must do the works of him who sent me while it's day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.
That's an interesting setting right there. Blind man, light of the world. Right? Okay. And so he says, there's works got to be done. Listen, we have a window of time to do the works of Jesus. The day's coming, the night's coming, when no man works. You understand, you've got to realize the culture of the day. Here, we light up the night with all kinds of lights and work 24/7. But when you're operating with lanterns and this type thing, and when the light goes out, it goes out, and you don't burn that thing all night. And so the works of Jesus, the works of God, are referred to as light. The works of the devil referred to as darkness. He said darkness is coming. Have you noticed that? We better work while we can work. We better be about the Father's business, if you will. Okay?
Can we talk about this a little bit longer?
Okay.
Because I used to read these verses and I would get so tripped up thinking, I don't understand why would it didn't match up with the character of God that he would intentionally have somebody born blind. Now, I'm just going to flat out tell you, I have gladly accept it, that there are things that I will not understand, that his ways are higher than my ways, and I don't have to have an explanation for everything that happens, and I'm good with that. I'm okay with that. I know who I am, and I'm learning who he is. But my point is that when you look at that verse 3, Pete already established the fact that he answered the question, neither sinned. But my translation read, "This came about so." And I mentioned to you that that translation is off. But when you look at it, and you look at it in the Greek, another way you could say that by looking at the definitions is contrarily. So I look at that to say, all right, let's focus on the work of God here. Your attention's on the wrong thing. I want you to think about if you grew up under a religious system that told you you're sick because you've sinned. That's going to mess you up. You think about the bondage and the condemnation that would put you in. I mean, if it were me, I would have been scared to go out of my house if I sniffled. So you think about that bondage. And what Jesus is saying here is you're focused on the wrong thing. You're asking the wrong question. Let me point you to the light. This is the work of the Father, that He would heal, that He would restore.
There's something else we need to point out here, too. This is a doctrine that goes around. Some people say he was born blind so Jesus could heal him. Well, that's about dumb. So an orthopedic surgeon's going to break your leg just so he can show people he can put it back together.
Mm-hmm.
No. God doesn't make sick to show people sick to show others that he heals. No. You understand that the Bible was not written in chapters and verses. Men decided where they would divide. It wasn't punctuated. Men decided where they would put the punctuations. Okay? So the man wasn't born blind so Jesus could heal him. Jesus healed him because he was born blind. And there's a world of difference in that.
Mm-hmm.
I can work the works of God. I'm going to work the works of God in this man's life. Okay, his parents didn't sin. He didn't sin. The works of God need to be done in this man's life. Okay, you follow me? So don't get tripped up in that doctrine either. I've run into things. I can remember one particular man I'll leave it very vague, not go into any detail, but he had a physical problem. And he felt like that was his thorn in the flesh, that God was doing that to him to keep him humble. Well, it wasn't working because he was prideful. You follow me? One night they asked him about praying for him, and he refused to be prayed for because he felt like he was supposed to keep bearing that burden, if you will. That's deception. That's deception. And religion will deceive you with some of this erroneous doctrine that comes out of hell. Okay? And so don't get into that. Don't get into the condemnation. Well, you know, I've done something wrong, I've sinned. Or, you know, God's wanting to do a miracle, so he's going to make me sick and all this type stuff. Don't even think like that. God doesn't think like that. And so don't even go there. God's a good God.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? He's not abusive in any way, form, or fashion. I couldn't imagine just injuring one of my children just to show them that I could heal them. God doesn't work that way. Okay?
Thank you. Verse 6. After he said these things, he spit on the ground, made some mud from the saliva, and spread the mud on his eyes.
Now, that word that this translation says, smeared, which is correct, in the King James Version is anoint. So, we could go off on a tangent there, but I won't. I'm just telling you, people don't understand what anoint is. Rub, smear is what this means. He rubbed the... You understand? He spit and mixed that up and put on his eyes. That's unorthodox. And today it would be called unsanitary. You understand? But God doesn't think like we think. God gets results.
Yeah.
He knows what it takes. And here again, it wasn't magic in the spit. Okay? Time's up. We'll come back to this after the break. Okay.